Hello and welcome to another episode of Coffee Corner Radio podcast. My name is Martin Fischer. Today we will talk about SAP Cloud Platform and we'll have a bit of a look back of the history of the whole product from SAP. And I have two guests with me today, Matthias Steiner and Tobias Hofmann. Tobias, may you start with a short introduction of yourself?
Hi, and thank you, Martin, for inviting me for the Coffee Corner radio podcast. My name is Tobias. I'm a senior consultant and SAP lead architect from Bridging IT. And I think we're actually here because I wrote a blog about the SAP trial versions and how it actually could be maybe a little bit be better managed to make it easier to build solutions on top of SCP. And that block actually took a little bit off. And I think that's actually because we are now here.
It's at least one of the reasons. Thank you. So, Matthias, may you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. And likewise, thanks for having me on the show. I've been following along and now I'm quite happy and feel quite excited about being part of the show. So as some may know, people that are listening to this podcast, usually I have been with SAP for a long, long time. And my last role at SAP was running the central cloud platform product management team. I've been part of Cloud Platform since the very beginnings, and I still consider Cloud Platform sort of my baby with a lot of other moms and dads out there. For the last year, I have been working with Neptune Software, another rapid application development platform with an SAP focus, and there I'm running product management and engineering.
Okay, thanks a lot. So Tobias already mentioned the blog post, which got some or started to, some activity in the community. Let's call it like that. There was also a YouTube video and YouTube interview with Diginomica then, and Matthias, you were one of the guests, and Yelena from the US, also former mentors, where you were talking about the trial offering which exists for the SCP, and there's one major change that SAP will shut down the Neo environment trial offering, and there will be only the Cloud Foundry left, which means at the moment that there will be a 90 days time limit for the use. You can register again, but you kind of lose the thing you set up there. But I mean, maybe there are some people out there which do not completely understand that whole discussion about Neo and Cloud Foundry, because it's I mean, if you are not really into that topic, I guess it's a bit hard to understand what's going on there. Matthias, maybe it's a chance to have a short look back to the history of the whole product and the different environments. I think Neo was the starting point, and if I remember right, it was the first name of the current product which is currently called SAP Cloud Platform.
Yeah, and if we go into naming, we can probably fill another podcast. Just
that's true, but it will be quite boring, I think.
Yeah, it depends. I made a talk on this one for SAP InsideTrack Berlin. So whoever wants to go into that, please be my guest. The question is, yes, it depends on how you look. I would say that the idea for the cloud platform was already born in the NetWeaver days, right? Because looking back 10-12 years, if you see what happened there, and with all this different flavors of the NetWeaver stack and an integration, it was quite a bloated application server, quite a big complex beast with many different usage types, as they were called. And then we realized that, with the cloud becoming a thing in the early days, we realized we need something more lightweight, more scalable, more cloud-like. And that had the name was Next Generation Java Platform. And that evolved into Neo environment. But I think the interesting tidbit is here that back in the days, we already reached out to VMware, who was about to spin-off Cloud Foundry. But at the time, they didn't have an open source project around it. So we felt that our contributions that we wanted to make to a joint project didn't get the attention and didn't have the impact that we wanted. So we didn't feel we are in control of contributing to the stack in the direction where we wanted to take it. And this is when we decided to go with a more proprietary approach, but all based on open source nevertheless. So lots of Eclipse stuff was part of the Neo offering. And then the question came up on which infrastructure to run it. And there was already cloud infrastructure for SAP by design. And then we said, we're going to use this. And this was how, yes, we called it multiple things. It was called SAP NetWeaver On Demand. Later on, it was called Project River for a short period. And then Neo became the name. Neo was also the command line interface to kick it off, which for the nerds, it was Neo. And from my perspective, it was kind of a victory after long back and forth with global branding, global marketing, to that we got the approval to call it Neo Environment, because we said we can't just call it the other thing that it's not Cloud Foundry. So it needs to have a name. The only name that the developers and engineers always had was Neo. So let's go with Neo.
Yeah. So the roots actually were, or the base, the starting idea was to offer an environment to build extensions for SAP customers, and not actually build up a platform as a service offering competing with AWS and Azure. Or yeah, I don't know if Azure was that popular at that time already. I don't remember exactly.
To a certain extent, yes. I mean, we had three primary use cases, and those haven't changed in all those years. It's integration, extension, and custom development. It was kind of setting up a new cloud platform that could be called NetWeaver 2.0, but nobody wanted to do it, of course. But the same spirit to say, give me all the technology stack that I need to build modern, responsive, scalable, elastic, secure enterprise applications, with integration, extensions, and custom development as being the three primary driver. And then everything else that goes along with it, which is the ecosystem, having a platform where people can also buy ready-made, turnkey-ready solutions, rapid deployment solutions, and the like. So that was always part of the game. For me, I said, it's a completely new approach, so it could open up lots of net new customers for SAP, especially in the small medium business, because there was a lower entry barrier. There was a more of a non-proprietary skill set required that you find at a global scale, because those are the open source components and technologies that are everybody's using in offshoring, in nearshoring, learning at the university. So we said it comes with less of an entry barrier. And that was the key aspiration. Just agility, time to market, and the broader platform play that drove us. Cloud Platform never had the plan to really compete with Azure or Amazon or Google Cloud when it comes to a technology portfolio. That was just, SAP has never been a technology company. It had always been a business process driven company. So that was always the mindset. It was just bringing this cloud thinking, where Cloud Platform was really very early on within SAP to drive this cloud mentality.
Yeah. Okay. You just mentioned the low entry barrier. sorry for stepping in there. For my understanding of how I experienced the cloud offering from SAP, especially in this topic, there is a big difference to the other bigger vendors or PaaS. The companies who offer PaaS services. SAP, from my understanding, or at least from my experience, never got the point to the point that it's possible to onboard very fast, and just to get that agile grassroots project, which was created in the IT department after work, during having some beer or whatever. to work, because there was always that, let's call it old sales process, sales cycle in place. So for me, that's one reason why I think SAP Cloud Platform lost a lot of track in the last years.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Tobias can chime in how he sees it before I try to share my perspective on that one.
Sure. Well, if I look back at actually when Neo started, and then it was transformed into the SAP Cloud Platform, it's a Cloud Foundry flavor. There was, at least in my perspective, always one simple problem, and that was actually, how do I get started easily on SCP? And then how do I actually can grow with my solution on the platform? And maybe not even grow just like a small department with a small users, but also use this application as a third market application that I can use to attract different users from outside my company and also to use it. In my perspective, it's like SAP sells SCP, and they actually like, it's our platform and it has to be for the good of SAP and not in the first place for the good for the customer. So there's a lot of onboarding hurdles actually you have to overcome before you can actually use the platform for a solution. And compared to, for instance, Azure or AWS, there's also nothing like a free tier where I can first start to think about, well, I don't know how big the solution is going to be. Yeah, I just have a good idea. I have a few developers. Let's create something. And this little piece actually of making it easy to just use the services that are available in SCP, in my perspective, this kind of easy access is just missing. I mean, there are really good services inside the SAP Cloud Platform. I mean, it's not the best platform if you think about DevOps, though there is no Azure DevOps available, or some solution that can compete with Azure DevOps. But if I take a look at some business applications, for tax calculations, for mobile services, the Translation Hub, or other Leonardo or machine learning services, the way you can use to extend your applications to actually analyze your business with some artificial intelligence. I mean, that is the core business of SAP, and the services they are actually offering are pretty good. But people in the company and in the customer side are not using them, because for them it's just like a different world, and they don't know actually how to access that world. Even when SAP was able to sell SAP platform to the customer, then you always have still the problem they sold it to the SAP people inside the customer, the SAP silo, and not to the overall IT silo. So that was, for instance, last year I made a presentation at SITMUC where it was had one slide was that was about the importance of SAP compared to like 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, SAP really was big in companies. Yeah, so you had the SAP budget, SAP people, and they were actually demanding around them. You had the boring admin stuff like, yeah, we have to use a SharePoint, or we are going to use the RD administration. But over the last 20 years, it actually changed drastically. And now you have SAP is just a small part of the overall budget, and all the money actually went a little bit out from SAP budget and went to the organizations and to other functional areas or line of businesses. And they are using what they have to innovate, but unfortunately not on SAP. Yeah, and this is where I see a gap maybe in the perception how SAP still sees their platform as the good two point, or as the central platform for a company, because the company is using SAP, and not as a way to offer services that make it easier for companies to actually innovate together with SAP.
Yeah, you're bringing up some very interesting angles to it. What what I know was a question that we thought about for quite some time, and we were also called out to address this question, unspoken question to a certain extent, was, are we primarily targeting net new audiences to say, this is your entry point into the SAP ecosystem to start, you know, as you said, co-innovate with SAP, or would it be easier and smarter and more logical to say we start with the installed base and first of all, make sure that they installed base can use cloud platform for the three areas that I called out earlier. That was a central thing. And I think to a certain extent, SAP still is trying to show the value of cloud platform in this whole context of an SAP centric landscape. It's just makes sense that you have this installed base and giving the importance it has in integration and extension that to a certain extent makes true. It goes back to the other argument that was brought up by Martin, which is, yes, from a traditional business model in the way that the existing customer base is used to interact with SAP, we still have, you know, we have the account owners that are knowing an understanding of what happens at the customer side. They're creating the dialogue and you always have those purchasing departments that would like to negotiate to a certain extent with SAP. So not really like a low touch buying process on the contractual side, on the making business with side. And that's to a certain extent also what I brought up in the other podcast the other day, is to say SAP needs to get better for my essence in the partnering approach. Because yes, this whole onboarding process as you described, from how do I learn about cloud platform, how can I also within my company explain the value proposition and the business case to the non-SAP practice to understand, to say, look, we can complement cloud platform with Azure, with Amazon, with Google. It doesn't have to be an either or conversation. And to show this and then also go into it, order an account I can use for production, start building my application, and then eventually put it out there in the market, in the app store. There's so many parties involved at SAP, and they need to work together to make this a much more seamless experience, because no matter how I look at it, and this holds true for everybody, you got to be easy to make business with, because if other people are easier to make business with, it's an uphill battle. So you want to get, you got to make it easy and a win-win situation for the other party to interact with your platform. And that also holds true for cloud platform.
Exactly. I mean, this win-win, this is one of the most important points, actually, when you're thinking about how you can make a platform a success. Yep. And for my feeling is actually when cloud platform started, this was there. There was a win-win, because we can never forget actually that SAP moved in the last, I think let's start with SuccessFactors acquisition in 2011. SAP moved drastically into the cloud. I mean, the SAP 10 years ago, you cannot compare it with the SAP today. It's roughly about 10 years, so it's really also impressive what happened there. And the SAP actually was one important part to also open up the mind at customers, at the SAP side of the customer, to understand that there is also a cloud possibility. I mean, one of the nicest features of the cloud is this kind of keep the core clean. Yeah, you have your ERP system, but you do your customizations, you do your custom development in the cloud. And from the next upgrade, actually, you're doing for the next S4 release or whatever comes after S4, it's not as painful as it is today. Though we also have to say in that part, we have to really thank also the SAP Cloud Platform and SAP for opening up the mind at the SAP side from the customer. But this is just one, you know, one side of the budget actually we're looking at the customer, because if you're just focusing on the existing stuff and making it easier for them to use the SAP cloud, I also have to understand that this is a limited resource I'm actually targeting with the cloud platform. And if you also take look back like 10 years at Azure, I mean, Azure was also not really the biggest cloud provider in the world. People were also betting against Azure and saying it's going to fail, or that another company is going to be even bigger than Azure, and Amazon is in a different stratosphere compared still. But the budget is moving, and that is where I actually see a risk also for people like me that are going to specialize on the cloud topics at SAP, because when the budget is shifting, there's less available for the classic SAP stuff, and everything else goes to other cloud providers. Yeah. And this is where we're wondering, dear SAP, don't only focus on your existing base. Look at what you're actually missing out there. It's billions or trillions of money opportunities that are there that we cannot tackle, that we cannot get into, because the positioning, in my opinion, is just too focused on existing customers.
Okay, thanks, Tobias. I think into the same direction in a way. I don't see it that much from a budget perspective, but also from a target group perspective. And if we look at IT departments, at least in Germany, we usually have three large groups. The first group, which is the core ABAP development team, which does not care about cloud, and you have to force them to use it. Then there is the group with, let's say, SAP guys, which are more open-minded and also care about other technologies and heavily use SCP and see the advantages. And there's the third group, the non-SAP guys, who still say, go away with your SAP stuff. I don't care. It's just complicated and old-fashioned and whatever. I don't say that it's actually the case, but in my opinion, and that goes into the direction which Tobias said with the budget, SAP didn't really manage so far to address that group, which never had contact to SAP so far, and they are still hesitating to get in touch with SAP technology.
Mm-hmm. I clearly see those personas, and I've been thinking about them for quite some time, and I agree this is spot on. I think what we can definitely say is that the three of us, and I hope I can speak on your behalf as well, we know a lot of people that sit in this middle circuit, right? It's the mentors, the extended mentor wolf pack, and the community at large. Those are the people that are really trying to act as a bridge between the SAP practice and all those technology center of excellences, whether they look into cloud, machine learning, IoT, or whatever it is. The problem that I see is, how can I connect those two camps? Because we actually see them manifest at the larger customers and partners of SAP. They have those teams. And as you said, the budget is switching, and even more troublesome, I would assume, but prove me wrong, that a lot of the SAP budget that's still there goes into the S4 conversion in the next couple of years.
So that's for sure.
So they're really growing thin on other use cases. So the question is, if they can manage to help articulate with this group in the middle to convey that as part of the S4 conversion, cloud platform is an essential part of this cloud S4 conversion, but at the same time, it also helps to mediate and establish a working program with the non-SAP technology guys, which from my understanding, sometimes are technically very good, but lack any interest or expertise when it comes in old, boring, in quotes, ERP business processes. So
yeah, that's
you
true.
Need the, you need both, and that is, I think, where a lot of cloud platform, but also other partner solutions can help to address this gap to a certain extent, because you can take the domain knowledge from all the hardcore ABAP developers, give them a gentle lift off to the new technologies, be it cloud platform, be it Fiori. We have the open SAP courses to bring them there. If the licensing on the development side of the platform caters to this, then we have the skills. Now let's talk about value prop and making the business case why cloud platform can help not only with SAP-centric projects, but as Tobias said, also in showing where it can provide value in other areas that are typically considered to be non-SAP turf. So that's my take.
Yeah, that's true. And I completely agree with you. And I also see that the active community is really into that topic and supporting that way. But sometimes it's pretty hard to just convince customers and those not SAP technology guys out there that they should have a look into that direction. And Gregor Wolf, we all know him very well, also always says these days that SAP should open source CUP, for example. I think that would be, from my perspective, a very cool move into that direction, because then SAP technology becomes more attractive for those guys who didn't have contact with SAP technology so far. I see that also with OpenUI5, for example. It's a hard way to convince our colleagues, but if you look at the Angular world, yeah, which is just not enterprise ready, a lot of people start thinking, at least.
Yeah. You have to always consider one important part when we're talking about software. I mean, Matthias said it in his introduction, SAP is a business process company, not a technology company. Sure, yeah. But SAP knows very well how to deliver super stable, fast, and enterprise-ready software. I mean, if you compare Angular with OpenUI5, that's not really a comparison. I mean, that's like someone coming with a knife to a gunfight. OpenUI5 is so much better than Angular, so much more enterprise ready. And this is but it's also one of the points where we have to say that the non-SAP developers also come with a certain, I don't know, skepticism or hate, maybe even, against SAP. It's impressive how many time I can spend in meetings with non-SAP developers to convince them that SAP actually did something good. Or that it's not evil.
No, it's...
That's impressive. I don't know how Matthias also knows this kind of discussions when you sit in a room full of developers, the half is non-SAP. It's not fun, actually.
I think the comparison to UI5 is quite interesting. And that a former Cloud Foundry event, I don't recall which year, but probably 2-3 years back, there was this one statement saying, okay, one vendor, open source, is the new proprietary. And I'm a big fan of UI5. And what Tobias said, if you think about a very powerful design system that comes with a lot of enterprise-grade features, UI5 is really a superb technology and very mature and robust. But do we see UI5 getting an uptake outside of an SAP world? Let me just be careful here in how I phrase it. I don't see it happening, but I'm not saying it's not. But I just don't see it on a larger scale. But what I do see, and this is what I learned from some of our joint friends here in the Netherlands, Twan and Jan, for example, they said, with open sourcing, SAP UI5 into OpenUI5, I had the opportunity to deliver unified experiences that starts with SAP backend system, or data coming or processes being coming from SAP systems, but I could also do it for the non-SAP stuff. So suddenly it was the default UI technology simply because it was not exclusive. Now with the cloud application programming model, open sourcing it, does that imply that suddenly all the the Azure guys or the Google developers would start jumping on CAP? Probably not, but it would open up the ecosystem. It would allow other companies to join and start from an SAP-centric approach to a more inclusive, and that can never be wrong, in my opinion. I think it's a charming thought. There's definitely, again, this is technology, so and you want to have it as a maximum adoption as possible. So if this is helpful, then I think it's worthwhile considering it, and the mentors and the community have weighed in on UI5. So if Gregor can lead the charge on open sourcing CAP, I'm willing to also watch this and cheer them up and support where I can.
Yeah. Talking about open sourcing CAP, I mean, my second blog, I also mentioned at the very end, other possibility. SAP should try to talk to Microsoft and Azure to include CAP as a web app template for development. So when a developer actually comes to the web apps part from Azure, instead of just selecting, like, I want to do a .NET app, a Node.js app, or PHP, another option is automatically CAP, for instance. That would also help a lot, actually, to attract new developers to see, actually, how you can do enterprise-ready software.
Good stuff. So I just put it out there. And Tobias wants to have a CAP open source present. I take it.
That would be very cool. By the way, we had once an episode with Michael Graf, who was at that time still in the UI5 team, and he talked about the whole open sourcing stuff of UI5. Very interesting one, if you want to listen. And there are some users, even CERN in Geneva, are using it. Got to know it because of a coincidence. I guess they just opened the GitHub issue, if I remember right, or something like that, and they were pretty surprised about the way they are using it. So, and I think that's very important to for SAP. If they want that traction in the non-SAP area, and I'm sure it's not necessary to rule the world in quotation marks, that will not happen, but in that enterprise space there is so many good stuff within the SAP world which would just make sense to offer that to the whole IT department and not only to the SAP silo.
Yeah, but the OpenUI5 team actually is pretty good at this, because they also developing the web components. Though, even you are a React or an Angular developer, you can use via the web components some UI5 controls. And as the UI5 controls are really first class, these are top of the game. This also shows other developers, oh, look, actually, there's also a different project. I can still continue to develop my app in Angular, but I can use the UI controls that help me a lot actually to get something delivered. And with that kind of attracting different developers, it should be possible to at least gain some traction also from an Angular developers to maybe move from Angular to OpenUI5. But this kind of free beer example, where we put something out there to see if someone actually gets attracted and it takes a bite. This could also be something for the services from SCP. And it was also part of my other blog. Instead of trying to sell the whole platform, maybe it's possible to offer some services somehow natively on the marketplace, and the people can just select a service they actually want to use. I mean, it will also be something that should make it easier for even non-SAP departments or customers to switch over to SAP without maybe even knowing it. Now they see a nice tech service, they see a nice machine learning model from Leonardo. They select it and can integrate it easily into their solution. And once they are convinced, I think we are on the right track to push them over to the dark side.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the mindset that I remember when we discussed this. I mean, I have tried to document some of this thinking in public the last couple of years, but the thinking about business services that can be consumed just like other APIs at ease, and you bring up tax management. Yes, if there is a service that allows me to be compliant with the regional tax requirements, everybody loves to take this and not, you know, worry about it themselves. That's a really good example. I think that's the direction that I want to go to. The question I think is just now, yeah, how fast and how easy can they make it? That's the thing. I think that part of the message came was quite clear in the last couple of weeks, also partially amplified by your blog posts and what came afterwards. So I think we have discussed that little aspect to a certain extent. So it's more now about seeing traction and seeing progress and execution on that side. But I'm quite looking forward to this year's Tech Ed season, because I think this is really where also the new CTO wants to make sure that everybody understands that he's driving an agenda at SAP. So it's going to be very interesting.
But I'm not sure if he can actually announce something, because depending on what they are doing, it may be a drastic new architecture shift inside the SCP. So I'm really excited to hear what is going to be announced at TechEd, but I don't think that it will be a big bang announcement.
Does it have to be a big bang? As long as I think that they maybe communicate better on what is the target direction. I think CAP is a good example, right? A lot of us see the benefits there. Also in comparison with its counterpart on the ABAP side, the RAP, RESTful ABAP programming model. I think the two have a lot of common design principles and approach. Just being more vocal on where those two technologies will sit in the future business technology platform stack that Jürgen is driving. That would be interesting. So yes, you can always announce. I know that for a cloud CTO, is announcing something without releasing it is always a little bit of a stretch. So you definitely want it to be coming shortly after and not just make announcement about what's to come down the road. That's not the preference, but let's see. As long as they communicate, I think, and explain and pick up on some of those conversations at TechEd and clearly address them and how they want to solve them, I think that's already a good step.
Yeah. I fully agree with you, Matthias. And I think, I'm also not a big fan of that big announcement all the time. I don't need them. There are so many tasks which need to be fixed. And I mean, the user groups in the last years clearly stated that integration is the key, and we shouldn't forget. I mean, it shouldn't be. I don't want to use it as an excuse for SAP, but we shouldn't forget that they had that technical integration of all their acquisitions internally as well, which I'm quite sure was the driver for the web components part of UI5, which Tobias just mentioned, and not exactly the community outside SAP. So there are also other stakeholders which SAP has to take care about that are the internal developers. I think there were a lot of tasks in the last years to get that technology stack also fixed. I mean, if you look 10 years back, SAP didn't care or didn't need to care about the hardware consumption of their technology. Now they have to eat their own dog food, and HANA became a problem in the end. And so I think there they are also busy of taking their internal stuff with them on that cloud journey, and we all know that there are maybe some learning reluctant ABAP guys outside SAP, but they sit also in Waldorf. They also need to care about them.
Exactly. And that was, sorry for chiming in, but that was exactly my point at the very beginning. When Thomas Saueressig was still CIO and picked up on the mobile first and the whole iOS stuff from his predecessors, but also incubated Cloud Platform as a strategic IT platform for SAP IT to serve SAP's own, needs. This was why I said this is perfect, because if you get to convince all those hardcore ABAP guys, and you could call SAP the biggest ABAP shop in the world, right? If you can convince them that the future is good, that the cloud platform is good, then I think then you have a chance to also succeed at some of the largest accounts in the world where you have a strong ABAP know-how. So that was always something that was done very consciously. And I think to great success, because SAP IT has been one of the largest stakeholders and users of cloud platform within SAP.
But they don't pay for it as the customer does.
So they don't pay for it, but they also run mission critical load on it, right?
So this, sure.
This puts up the pressure out there, because also within SAP, you have also the people that are skeptic to say, well, why do I have to do it with cloud platform if it's so much easier with platform XYZ? So you're putting it out there to say, no, if cloud platform cannot be a good platform for internal usage scenarios and for all those LOB cloud solutions that we acquired, then you will never get it there where it needs to be to appeal to customers, right? So that was the same thinking.
Yeah, and I think maybe we are, from our outside perspective, we are, or at least I am, critical about that developer crowd we just were talking about, which maybe wasn't addressed yet that much, but maybe SAP just overlooked them because they were too busy with their own developer crowd. So maybe a recommendation to look outside the silo. There are other guys who maybe are eager to play around with SAP technology.
Sure. But we're already talking about specific persons that are involved in this. Just a small reminder for anybody, maybe from SAP that is listening. I personally, when I'm at customers in my architecture role, I don't care about the person. What I care about is the product, the features, the capabilities, and the roadmap. And specifically regarding the roadmap, maybe the cloud CTO is going to announce something at Tagit. It may be only just a roadmap announcement. I'm fine with that, but it also has to be delivered in the end in an acceptable time frame. And when some change is coming to how the licensing or for the business side of the customers, how they can make use of SCP services, maybe they can announce that one at Sapphire. Although I do not even think that something like this always needs to be announced as a big event. I mean, just announce it when it's ready. Maybe marketing won't like this, but announce it when it's ready.
Okay, so I think we spent already a lot of time, and I'm quite sure we could talk the whole afternoon about that topic. And I'm for sure looking forward to a Tagit where we have the possibility again to meet after the whole day Tagit at a bar and have a beer and discuss that kind of topics, which is said that it. Not this year, but I hope in the future again. Thank you guys again for coming on the show today. And it was a pleasure for me to talk with you about that topic.
Same here. Thanks for having us. And looking forward to the next encounter in real life. And until then, stay healthy, stay safe, and let's kick it.
Yeah.
Same to my side. Stay safe, everybody. please use the Corona Warn app even when you're from Germany. That's actually one of the points where SAP delivered on promise. This was just amazing. Right.
And on quality.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Perfect. Great sum up. Perfect.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.